Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, soon to come again in great power and glory. You may be seated. My wife and I don't go out to movies very often, but when we do, I like to make sure that we get there early enough to see the coming attractions. Both of us like to see what's coming up in those movies, so maybe there's something we want to see later, especially if the feature film we paid money for bombs. In today's gospel, Jesus did something similar for three of his disciples. He provided them with a glimpse of the coming attractions so they'd have something to remember as they not only watched, but lived through the feature presentation. You see, the feature presentation was going to be one of those shoot 'em up flicks, rated PG-13 for excessive violence. In the chapter before our gospel reading today, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed on the third day and be raised again. Peter, though, objected strongly. What Jesus was describing for the feature presentation was not at all the kind of movie Peter wanted to see. He wanted one of those feel-good flicks, you know, kind of a romance where everyone lives happily ever after. So Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But, you know, Jesus, he had his mind made up. "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Why? Because this is the feature presentation, and it was the one that God the Father wanted to see. So as bloody and violent and hard to watch as it would be rated G for God. In fact, this was the feature presentation that God had scheduled from before the creation of the world. Everything before this was just prelooks at the main event. All creation was waiting in eager expectation for the feature presentation to get rolling. I have a feeling most of us out here are old enough to remember the drive-in movies and the clock, you know, that appear on that big screen announcing that you had just 3 more minutes to get your soda and popcorn before showtime. This was it. Time had fully come. But before the feature presentation began, Jesus had one more coming attraction. He wanted his disciples to see it. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Now, you know, today Hollywood can do all kinds of stuff with special effects, but up on this mountain with Jesus that day, this was no trick photography. It was real. Peter lays it right out near the beginning of his second letter. You heard it. He said, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, frankly, were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And boy, this majesty stuff was good. So good, in fact, that Peter said, "Lord, it is good to be here. If you wish, I'll make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter had his popcorn with extra butter kicking back, ready to enjoy this majestic, this glorious coming attraction. In fact, he didn't want the coming attraction to end. He sure didn't want to watch the feature presentation that Jesus had talked about earlier. That bright light and majesty and Moses and Elijah event. Wow, for Peter, that's where it's at. Why leave? But Jesus came and touched them, and when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. What a disappointment. Only Jesus. When you look around, all you see is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus can my heartfelt longing still. Peter, this was just the coming attraction. The feature presentation Peter is showing at the bottom of the mountain, not up here, Peter, come on. Time for us to go down and see the feature presentation. But don't forget the coming attraction. You must remember what you saw on the mountain. You see, that feature presentation got to be mighty hard to watch. It was about betrayal, corruption, greed, political maneuvering, all at the expense of the man they'd grown to love and honor. He was completely innocent, yet he would be arrested with contrived evidence, condemned in a rigged-up trial and brutally executed before anyone could come to his rescue. And where, I ask you, where did this leave these guys? I mean, this is a man they'd left everything behind to follow. They had committed their lives and trusted their well-being to him. They had cast their lot, with the wrong rabbi. Was he a false prophet after all? They were known as Jesus' disciples, so if people treated the master like this, what would become of them? This question wanders through our mind as well. You must remember what you saw on the mountain. The glory of God present in this man. The company of heaven standing by his side. The voice of the Heavenly Father, no less, declaring his love and approval for Jesus. Don't be afraid. You're following the right one. Put aside all your doubts. Hang on. Trust in him. Commit yourself to him. He's the one come to rescue you, to save you. Who Jesus really is, that's revealed before the eyes of these disciples. They see the glory of God in the very face of Christ. They, said John in his gospel, they beheld the glory of the only begotten full of grace and truth. They got to remember that because soon, very soon, Jesus would be climbing another mountain, and on that mountain there would be precious little glory shining out from him. In fact, on that mountain where they were headed to, Jesus would suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified on a cross, breathe his last in death, and there would be darkness in the middle of the day. There, on that mountain, instead of being transfigured, he would be disfigured, which was just what one of the old previews had foretold. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, in his form marred beyond human likeness. Now think about this. The very one who formed all men and women with his own hands, breathed into them his life, would be delivered over into the hands of men and women, and those hands would crucify their creator and whoop it up as he breathed his last. You must remember what you saw on the mountain, so that you will know that it is the Lord God himself who is dying for you on that cross. The ultimate price is being paid for your redemption, not with gold or silver, but with his own holy precious blood. He has purchased and won you from all sin, from death, and from the power of Satan. His blood is holy blood, and the glory of God courses through his veins. It doesn't matter whether your blood type is type A or B or O. His is the universal blood type for all sinners who need to be transfused with divine holiness and purity and righteousness. Rise and have no fear, said Jesus to his bewildered threesome. Oh, it's easier said than done. We think it'd be easier if we could only see it all with our own eyes, but for now we live by faith. Faith is believing what we do not see, simply believing in what Peter, James, and John saw with their eyes and then wrote down for our ears to hear and our hearts to believe. And it's true, we would all rather stay on the mountaintop. The coming attractions of God's glory and majesty are a whole lot more appealing than the feature presentation of our life here, now, following Jesus. I tell you, the road with Jesus doesn't always take the scenic route. Sometimes there are short or long stretches where the scenery along the way is mostly sadness and loss, sorrow, suffering. Satan wants us to believe that this is all there is. No more coming attractions, nothing to hope for, nothing to wait for, no reason to hang in there and endure. Might as well grab all the glory you can in this life because, well, that's it then. Again and again along this road of faith, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this. Again and again, we fall. We fail. We fall short of the glory of God. And truth is, there are some days when the pain or loss or loneliness or sorrow are so great that we can hardly remember the coming attraction. In the prayer of the day for this Transfiguration Sunday, we prayed in the voice that came from the bright cloud, "You wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven." In your holy baptism, you were united to this Jesus who is the radiance of the glory of God. The Christ whose face shone on that holy mountain lives in you, and you live in him. His glory shines in you now, and you are already living in glory, even while that glory is still hidden under the everyday humdrum experiences of sadness, suffering, death, failing, falling. This is what St. Paul meant when he said in Romans 8, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Folks, remember the coming attraction. Do not forget what you saw on the mountaintop. We're heading into the season of Lent. It's the feature presentation which leads right to the cross. But soon, and very soon, you and I are going to be coming to a tomb. The stone will be rolled away. The grave will be open. That open grave is his and yours. This, you see, is where the feature presentation ends. Tomb empty. Wide open, life full, yours. Stay tuned. There's more to come. You sure don't want to miss it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.